It was amazing today. I'd started weeping a little bit when Pastor Jim was. It was an incredible message, and because I was, I knew it was like same Holy Spirit, and we know that. And we don't get together prior to a conference or in during conference and ever talk about what are you going to talk about, so we can kind of coordinate our messages so it looks like the Holy Spirit's. And I knew in my spirit, at least to begin with and probably throughout the week, that he wanted me to talk about the war against the mind, the war against the senses, the war against the emotion, the spiritual war to stop us, but more so in any more than any other way, just to encourage us. The Avengers have assembled. Hallelujah. For some of you, that might not be a familiar term, but the warriors, the army, Joel's army, has assembled. Hallelujah. And if I mention anything about myself, it's only indicative of where you've probably been at. If I use myself as a straw poll of the last several weeks have been kind of incredibly challenging in a number of different ways, and I'm usually and always am very physically healthy and fit in a certain sense. But the challenges have been pretty amazing, and I won't go into all detail, but Wednesday night I shared on mainly, I think, the spirit of infirmity, one of those spirits that Pastor Jim brought up this morning. And so that was Wednesday night. Well, Thursday, you know, we're getting ready to leave, and we're remodeling, actually putting on another master bath, and we're changing some things in our house, and we have a guy that's in there that's a certifiable electrician and plumber, and he's working in there, and so he has a bench, or it's a scaffolding set up, and so the alarm guy came over, and he's doing some stuff because we had to shut our alarm off. We want to put our alarm back on since we're going away for, you know, a week. So he comes over and he's working, and he and his wife, and he tells me, because, you know, you've got a vent in here that's, you know, an air conditioning vent that's just pouring out air. You don't need that. You're air conditioning your this room that's not even, you can't even occupy, or it's going right into the garage. I said, okay, thanks. I'll jump up there. So I hopped up on this scaffold, and he gave me some tape, and I'm just taping this vent off, and it doesn't have a, you know, a screen on it or anything. They'd already taken that down. Well, I turned around. I think, you know, I probably should do something different than just jump down, because, I mean, you know, I could jump down, or I could just make one large step and prove that 60 plus doesn't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? That guy's standing there, and I'm like, yeah. And so, and I think those intuitions are more Holy Spirit sometimes, because then later you think, where was my angel? And the angel's going, I just, come on, come on, Mr. Ego. So I thought, no, I'm going to, he's watching that guy's, I'm not going to, you know, squat or anything like that. And just, so I'm a man. And so I take my big man step and plant my right leg on, and when I do, my knee just absolutely. Have you ever hurt so bad that you couldn't talk? And the guy's standing there talking to me, and I'm going, yeah. And I don't know what he was saying. He was telling me something about the alarm. I was like, yeah. But I mean, he doesn't know. I'm just like, golly, I knew something bad happened, like bad, like surgically bad. And I was like, oh my God. And so he walks off, I tried to walk out of that room, and I tried to walk to the end of the driveway, and I was like, my God, this is not good. And it's not like one of those temporary pains where it's like everything is in there. And then so I go in the house, and Candy's like, what's wrong? I said, oh my God. I said, I just did something. I don't know what it is, and it's really bad. And so for the next few hours, it was like excruciating pain. And so, yes, the spirit, you know, the enemy came. And I was like, all I could imagine is, I'm, you know, he's screaming, you're not going to make the airport. You can't even walk down the airport. If you do, they're going to have to put you in one of those wheelchairs, and your wife's going to be pushing you down. And then the next thing I'm thinking, and I'm like not trying to give any voice to this, but I was like, I got to call, you know, I might have to call Jim and tell him I can't make it because this thing is bad, and I can't even walk. I couldn't hardly stand. And but I thank God for a godly wife. And sometimes when you're faith, it's really good to have a partner. But if you're single, that's fine. Jesus is on your side. It's good to have a pastor. That's where it's, you can call your pastor or a friend. And I'm telling her, man, honey, I mean, the imaginations that are coming against my mind right now is I'm not even going to make the conference. And boy, she came over and she put a whooping on the devil. She put a tongue lashing on him. No! And it's good to have, and I'm standing too, but like, if, you know, pain is a really incredible preacher. It's like, I'm, you know, it just preaches really good. It's got a strong pulpit. And it was, and so we started putting ice on it all afternoon. In the middle of the night, it was hurting. We got to early, you know, get up early to get to the flight. But I'm telling you what, by the next day, I was able to go down that airport corridors just like nothing had happened. Praise God. So prayer works. Ice helps. Prayer works. Hallelujah. I've had some injuries before that, you know, that I've had to go to the doctor on, and I knew this was one of those ones, like, golly, it's like one of those, because when I would get up and walk, you could hear stuff pop. And stuff popping, you're not supposed to pop when you walk. Now, they say the older you get, you creak, but you're not supposed to pop. And I was popping. I mean, that thing, every time I'd stop, pow, I was, oh, my God, that is not a good sign. So thank God there's no popping. I'm able to stand up here. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you to say this. I don't know what your story is, but, we could go around. How did he try to stop you? And or if it wasn't an immediately, you can't relate to something this week, he's out there. And these may not be one of the, you know, and I don't know where he's going to go this week in all the messages, but I know how these first two are starting out. And sometimes, you know, you really kind of feel like you go to a conference, like, to go out of there pumped and like, wow, we are, you know, world changers, or you are world changers. But at the same time, you have come to a place of maturity to where the Holy Spirit can speak to you because he trusts that you're mature enough to take it and understand the battle at hand is sent to stop you against advancement. And I just know that every single one of us that are serious and are going forward or in a place where we're going to be advanced, wherever you're at, spiritually speaking, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to bring about the revival that is present tense. I really believe that it all has already started. We've not yet seen what we will see, as in the masses, the influx of the harvest. I believe when that part comes, you're also going to see incredible change in signs and wonders. And that's not just for pulpit ministry. Hallelujah. I'm looking at Miss Ruthie from Ireland. We get an opportunity to escort her and Miss Diana Iha from Tulsa, and they get to write. I'm writing with three beautiful women, my wife and those two, and I'm very careful to say anything. Diana and Derek were so, you know, we started the prayer center the same year that Pastor Jim started. And that was in March of 97. And I didn't know Pastor Dave, and I didn't know anybody there. And so we started, but one of the first few people that we met was Derek and Diane. So it was amazing. I think that they had as much to do with my discipleship as anybody, because weekly, I would get packages. Here's my Dave Roberson packages in the mail. Hallelujah. So Diana and Derek, I tell you, God's used you to change the world, and we appreciate it. Hallelujah. She's like, don't say it, but I'm going to say it. Hallelujah. I'm going to say it. Hallelujah. And I appreciate it. I woke up this morning and I really didn't know, you know, I like notes and I like stuff in advance, and I was praying before the conference. It wasn't a lack of prayer that I didn't feel like that I'd really gotten anything, except as I began to travel here, the Lord said, "You're going to speak on spiritual warfare, preparing the saints," and it was amazing. That's why I said I started, you know, to weep a little bit listening to Jim, but because it was like, God, you have a plan. You absolutely have a plan for us. You can listen or you can turn there, but Zechariah 4:6, we're just going to read a few verses there. And I don't know how much I'll share tonight. I think there'll be more as the week goes on and more specific. I think we're going to get down into nitty-gritty. Everybody say nitty-gritty. So you want nitty-gritty instructions, not just vague things, in being able to stand in these last days, and especially to stand against the warfare that has been launched against the church. And I call the church, those of you that are seated here and those of you that are watching, the revivalist. And those are the ones that are taking this very, very serious. Zechariah 4:6 says this, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying," this is familiar to so many, "not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Everybody say, not by might, not by might, nor by power, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, let me just share just a brief history here. And we're looking at a time where Zechariah the prophet, along with another prophet, Haggai, was ministering to Zerubbabel. I see Matt. It's good to see Matt, my friend from Kentucky, here tonight. He just drove in this afternoon. Matt's got an incredible, one of the best understanding of Old Testament chronology concerning kings and different ones. But this was a time where Zerubbabel had come to a place of discouragement. He really had. And he had laid the foundation. He was part of that first group that went back from the Babylonian exile. And he went back with a priest and a couple prophets. Haggai and Zechariah were there to encourage him during a time of real, when he was building. It took him just a few years, just a couple of years, to lay the foundation of the temple. And then almost immediately after the foundation was laid, it stopped. There was a hiatus. There was rumors that the Jews were rebelling, and the Persians that had sent them back home then began to stop them and say, stop building. And for 17 years, there was a time where it just was shut down, the rebuilding of the temple. And so God comes to him in a place where he is very possibly discouraged, and because he's had this assignment to go back to Israel and to begin to rebuild the temple that the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed. And yet once he gets there, he finds, you know, immediate success. He starts rebuilding, lays the foundation of the temple. And you might say, for us, the foundation that we've received has been a foundation of a rebuilding process for this outpouring. Hallelujah. In 1997, when I went and visited the prayer center, I was already in the ministry. I wasn't full-time, but I was pastoring at kind of part-time out at Immokalee. Well, all I can say is I met a man. Hallelujah. And I'm not glorifying Dave Roberson, But it's almost like the woman of Samaria, I met a man. And there was an immediate understanding, because I'll tell you what, growth starts in a place of hunger.
Yes, sir.
It really does. And I've looked at people around me, friends, family, and people for years, and wondered at times, Lord, why did I get it and went on? And they got it, but then they didn't get it. They got it, and they went with me for a while, but then I got unfriended. And I don't even have Facebook. I'm not against it. I'm not against it. It's not wrong. It's not sin or anything. I love and Pastor Jim was talking about this morning. And I'm not against it. I just never have had it. I guess one of the reasons why, it's not that the Lord said you can't have it. I just never have. But I thought about it. I thought, you know, if people say on there what I've heard that they say, and Christians, if they say that, now Pastor Jim, he can have it. And because he's dead, he's deader than I am. And he's so steeped in, you know, such deep biblical theology. He'll write them a real nice letter and tell them how wrong they are. But if I had Facebook, I'd be like, oh, I'd be like Medea. Oh, no, I'm coming to your house. I'm pulling you out in the street. So he knows my fast can focus on other stuff. But people come and go. And they come and go in your life. They come and go in your ministry. And everybody that once sat here is not sitting here. But there's still a good crowd. But I've been unfriended. I've been unsubscribed. They've unsubscribed me. Like, we really don't want to, you know, please. We don't want your letters anymore. We don't want your... I was like, now here's the deal. Either... Because we haven't changed. Either they were deceived when they came in, and we deceived them. But if we haven't changed, then that tells you something. Who changed? They changed. And the prerequisite, here's the deal. The prerequisite to growth is hunger. If you ever lose your hunger for more, then you stop growing. And then you get same old, same old, and then then things that are really prophetic, like it's about to and is happening, gets to be like an aggravation to you. We had some people that really dear to us and had grown up under this ministry with us, and they were at 10 o'clock or so, or late, I don't know what time it was, standing in our house. This is years ago. And they were elders in the church, and they were telling us that they were leaving and how wrong we were and how wrong Dave Roberson was and those kinds of things. Because, listen, I said the other night, I said, look, and I haven't had this experience often, but enough that I don't want to have it again too much, but I said, if you're going to leave or something, or tell me goodbye, do it in the morning. Don't do it late in the evening. Because it's like the devil strikes at night, you know, and then you have to lay there and think of it. So I had people, like, they were telling us how wrong we were, and we were shocked. Because, you know, when somebody calls you at 8 or 9 o'clock and says, can I come over? So it's only one or two things. They're going to give you $1 million or they're going to tell you off. And the latter was true. And I was like, okay, my God, what a shock. Well, oh, really? Yes, okay. And I just had to tell them, look, this is all the devil. He's come to totally take you're not even thinking straight. This is a demonic spirit. But they had entertained it long enough that it had grown up inside of them. And if you entertain something long enough, it'll be so long. And you can hide it with smiles, but it is festering like a cancer on the inside of you. And they were leaving because they had something better. But Candy, in her infinite wisdom, said, look, when you get there and find what's better, please come back and get us, because we want to go there. If something's better than this, please come and get us, because we want to see the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, and thousands, over a billion souls be born again. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, they haven't come back. And it must, I don't know if it's because they just totally unsubscribed us, or they just never have found. Listen, Gary talks a lot about, and Jim talks, we all talk about the bar. Where's the prototype? It's right here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And none of us are condemned. We are doing, in a certain sense, we're doing the best that we possibly can right now. And we want Jesus meetings. Jesus meetings is where Jesus comes in and everybody gets healed. But do you think Jesus is condemning us for not having Jesus meetings until we get to Jesus meetings? Absolutely not. Because we've got to get there somehow. And so we are the Avengers, or the warriors. Joel's army has come and we've assembled for this purpose of saying, how do we get to the next level? And part of it, at least at the beginning of this week, is the Lord is saying to us, not just in the example that I showed or told about concerning my knee and a lot of other stuff, but the enemy, if we don't come to an acute place of realizing, and like Jim said, not everything is physically is a devil, but we've got to understand that if we are on this walk, we have been marked. But that's not something to be scared of. It's something to take our position as in the authority of Christ and say, if I am marked, that must mean that the enemy looks at me as a potential world changer. An absolutely world changer. So he says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. He's telling him something that he needs to know. This angel comes to Zechariah and says, I want you to speak this. This is a prophetic word that I want you to speak to Zerubbabel, because evidently he was discouraged. Haggai had to come along also and speak to him. And because he was hearing all these things, the construction had shut down. The people were saying, I think Haggai said something about it. He says, the people were saying, it's not time. It's really not time to rebuild. Let's wait a little longer. How many have heard the enemy say, it's not time? Let's coast a little bit. Let's get involved in a church or a place where they don't challenge us every single week to die. These preachers, these Bronc Flints, these Jim Martins, these Gary Carpenters, there's these whoever, and you, who wherever you're at, if you're a minister of God, and all of you are in that certain sense, and people are hearing, man, you guys just, all you talk about is mortification. And the grace, the super grace people think, look, why don't you enjoy your salvation? Well, I'm enjoying my salvation. Hallelujah. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But there's some babies. There's some babies that I look at. And Candy will fix me a big, I'd salmon's every Monday night. Every Monday night. We're creatures of habit. I grill salmon. And she fixes that. She has all, so I bring it in. She fixes salmon. Or I fix salmon. And it's good, isn't it, Kathy?
Oh, it's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Candy house. And so we have those grilled veggies and salmon, and we'll sit down, and she puts my tray there. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. And apple tea. She fixes some. I don't have to go into that. It's really good. And I'm sitting there, and I'm fixing and all of a sudden, St. Jude comes on. And those little babies, those little ball-headed babies. And I'm like, I just want to change the channel. Because I'm not going on a guilt trip, but something sticks in my throat. And I'm like, I know where I'm at. If Jesus was here, he'd heal them all. And it's not just the ones that are living in Milwaukee or someplace else or wherever, and they're giving their little story. It's people around you that God makes wants you to make a difference. And I don't like, the two things, the prerequisite to change is hunger. And in 97, when I met Jim, and I don't know how much we really got the chance to talk, but he was in, and it had the same, that anointing had the same effect on him that it had on me. But we were out there, both of us, because there was something inside of us that said we want more. And I would come home from my construction crew, and I had several men working. I'd get them working. I had some condominiums that we were building. And I'd come home, and I'd just get them going, and I'd sit in my room and cry and say, Lord, because I was also part, at that time, before I went over to Immokalee, I was up at a church, a very large, pretty good-sized church, hundreds of people, and kind of being groomed for next man up. And the guy that was there, real wonderful guy, not on this walk, has a doctorate, very educated man, really believed in Christian education. That's great. And I'm sure he would have had me, go in to get my master's and my doctorate. And but he could not, the message he was, I loved him, but have you ever had this thing inside of you that hurt because you wanted more of Jesus? And I was sitting every week, and I would say, God, I mean, this is great, but there's something more. And it wasn't like I was upset with him, but there truly, truly was something more. And I began to cry out, God, God. I'd come home and cry, just cry. I'd say, God, please send me somebody. There's a move on the planet that it takes you all the way in. There's a move on the planet where there's nothing left. All things are provided for in the spirit realm, and it fills this void because I got a void on the inside of me. I could pray in tongues, and I had been through Bible college and graduated, and so, but I just, and somebody, if you get to crying out, I want more, somebody come up to me and said, here's a tape. Here's a tape. What's this guy's name? Dave Roberson. Praying in tongues. Something about how it'll change your life. Well, I'll listen. Well, to start with, you listen to his voice and you think, I don't know about that voice. And I want to hear something. But the something in the voice. It went past any kind of necessity for the hearing of the ear or the voice. And then, oh my God, it's like the drug king, he goes, the first one's on me. You'll have to buy the next one. I was willing to buy all of them after that. Derek just kept sending. And sending and sending, and I got through one series, and the next series I said, oh my God, this is it. And then later the book came out, and I was like, oh my God, this is it. And it wasn't a high, because a high doesn't last 30 years. Hallelujah. And a high emotionally hasn't lasted all of wherever, how long you've been on this. This is more than a high. But he spoke to Zerubbabel. He said, this angel said, give this message to him. It's not by might, because he's like, he'd shut down for 17 years as things are shut down. How many of you ever faced a time where it seems like, see, all the people, God bless them. We love everybody. We condemn nobody. What it was that took somebody out that's not here or not watching or not part of this is that they met something called an impasse. And in that impasse, it was easier to say, I'll unsubscribe than to keep going forward. He said, who art thou, O great mountain? He's prophesying before Zerubbabel. Thou shalt become a plain. In other words, this mountain be flattened. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace. Would you say grace?
Grace.
Would you say grace again?
Grace.
Hallelujah. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands, and this is really the crux of what the Holy Spirit was saying to me, and it just came to me this morning. The hands of Zerubbabel, that was prophetic to him, but it's prophetic to us today. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. Listen, this was what he needed to hear. Look, after years and years of seeing foundation laid and nothing built on it, then the word comes back to him and says, look, what you started, you'll finish. Hallelujah. Everybody say with me, what we've started, we're going to finish together. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It doesn't matter what stinking ding-dong devil has come at us, or who has come or who has gone, we're going to finish together. Hallelujah. The Lord said this, and I heard this, the war against the layers, that's us, the layers of the foundation, has been so intense so as to wipe out, just to wipe out the very memory of the assignment before it goes to full-blown birth. You want me to read that again? The war against the layers of the foundation, that's you and I. Why don't you just turn to somebody and say, you're a foundation layer. The Lord said it's been so intense so as to wipe out the very memory of the assignment before the full birth. The beginning of this year, I don't know, I'd have to look back in my notes. I actually did a paper on it. But I had a dream, and the dream, it was the last dream, you know, we dream, and it was the last dream of the night. I woke up early that morning, and you know when it's a dream from God. You know, those that are not dreams from God, you're usually forget them by the first cup of coffee or tea or whatever you have. But when it sticks with you and it stays with you and you're just like, you can still see it after you wake up. So I'd had a dream from God. And so I was standing on this street. And there were two women beside me. I don't know why women. Why not men? I don't know. But there were two women. And one on my right and one on my left. And we were looking out on this field, this great big field, and there was activity going on. I don't know, and this dream was, I can still remember it real, real clear, just like it was yesterday. And I knew something, how you know something about dreams. You don't have to have it spelled out to you, just know, because the Holy Spirit has given it. So I knew that the woman on my right was, she was a layer of the foundation. She had been around a long time. She had been on this walk, and she was very strong in it. The woman on my left, as we were looking out and about to have a conversation, I knew that she had just come in to this foundation. And when I say this foundation, many of you understand, but I'll be relatively quick in saying, you know, our foundation, of course, is the sayings of Christ and the entire Word of God. But a big part of that is the four pillars in which we classify as prayer, and predominantly praying in other tongues. Worship, intimacy, private time, waiting on God, those all find its category under a place of having intimacy with the Lord. And then the Word of God, which is the meditation and the confession and the decreeing of the Word of God. You know what I find out? And maybe you already, I'm sure you, because you're all smart. There's very few people in the house of God that just, or in the kingdom, that just actually take the Bible and just sit down and just read it anymore. That sounds so simplistic. But, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. You ought to be just really, really reading, really getting into this and reading it more than you're listening to sermons. Because it builds an image inside of you. And the church really, it's not, say, I'm glad I'm preaching to people far, far away. That not even the people listening on camera are guilty of this. It's got to be for somebody else that will watch it in days to come, okay? But people want some, you know, the church wants somebody to tell them a revelation instead of getting a revelation. And the lack of strength in the church is that the church hasn't got in there. Now, we still need pastors and, you know, prophets and evangelists. But they haven't got in there and got this for themselves. But that's another one of the four pillars. But and then, you know, that other word, fasting, which we don't fast this week, folks. Okay, don't be spiritual and fast this week. Hallelujah. But this lady was real. She had just come in this dream. We're going back to the dream now. I'm standing there. And this lady is, she's a chatterbox because she's so excited. How many have seen people when they first come into this walk, they're just so excited? It's like, oh my God, you know, and I'm like, okay, be around 3 years from now and you'll, you know, you'll get your badge. No, there's no badges. There's no earning. You know what I'm talking about? But it's not it's like, sometimes they, you know, they're so excited and they're like, we're going to, oh my God, this is the greatest message I've ever heard. You mean I can just pray all I want to in tongues and it really is the answers? Yeah. You mean I can pray myself out of depression, fear, anger, hatred? Yes. Go at it. Go. Yes. Oh my God, I'm so excited. And then you get in the prayer closet and you do that for, because you have a honeymoon time and you get, you know, like you get kissed from the Holy Spirit and Jesus loves on you. And just about the time he thinks you're big enough to take it, then he starts lifting the veil and starts showing you all your faults. And somebody said, no, I didn't sign up for that. I didn't sign up for that. Well, this lady was real excited. I need to stick with the dream. She was real excited and she was like, really, you know, very inquisitive, but she was also having a hard time with walking away from all the drop the mic, bam, preachers. Like, you know, Pastor Jim was explaining this morning, like, this may not be, and we may have a shout in time before it's over where we just shout the roof down. That'd be all right too, right? Sure. But all the bam, drop the mic preachers, sometimes you walk away and you're like, man, that was so great. What'd you get out of it? I don't know, but man, it was great. And she was having a hard time in this dream of reconciling. And she got almost in this dream, I wasn't going to argue with her, but she was like, you mean to tell me, she goes, this is great what I've found out from, she goes, but you mean to tell me I've got to drop some of these formula preachers and I've got to drop some of these, you know, drop the mic preachers? And I said, ma'am, look, I don't care what you do. I said, I'm not telling you to do one thing or the other. All I'm telling you is this. I've been down the road you're on. I have been to formula seminars. I've been to, if you do this, 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 and this, then you can expect this. And I said, I've been down that road. I've been through all the formulas. I've, you know, I started on this walk, not on this walk, but I started in Pentecost. We used to, you know, we'd have revival. I'd sleep on the pews because, you know, kids didn't, you know, they'd stay to the last. And so I grew up in this. And then I went through all of the you know, all the different preachers. I said, ma'am, I don't care what you do, but I said at the end of the day, I can tell you this, all the formula preachers or all the formulas will fail you. You'll come to an end and you'll be desperate and you'll be trying to look for an answer. But I said this path that we're on, this path is a challenging path, but if you do it, there's no end to the peace. There's no end to the spiritual prosperity. There's no end to the advancement that you can continue to walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, you know, there's so much more we could go into tonight. I just feel like, you know, Pastor Jim covered a lot this morning, and I just want to get into some specifics later on this week. But let me just read a prophecy from the blueprint prophecies. And we call them the blueprint prophecies. Some of you understand what that is. And it's a number of prophecies, 10, that the Lord began to speak through us. And this was one of the prophecies in October 27th, 2019. Now, 2019, we had just come back from one of the last Tulsa conferences. And I think 20, we didn't have a conference because of COVID. The Lord knew that COVID was coming. We didn't, and at least I know I didn't. And it just kind of shut down things. And then I think there was one more conference past that. But the Lord said this, and I'm going to read this, and then we'll close. We'll let you go home and get some rest and get ready for a fantastic day tomorrow. And then also just to begin to pray into this week, that the Lord opens our eyes to understand the battle at hand, but to be more encouraged this week than ever before on how to win. The Lord said this, endure the fight. Many of your hearts are turned aside fighting the battle. Some on many fronts, financially, physically, emotionally. For the drain and the fight of the battle has been part of your distraction. But I say unto you, lift yourself up. Shake yourself and let me stir you. Let me stir you beyond the place that you walk at today. Let this be a place where I infuse my strength into your hearts, that it goes beyond the determination of the mind, but a strength infused by my spirit to cause you to begin to continue day after day to pray the mysteries, to walk in my spirit and pray in my spirit. He said then, and we'll say this concerning this week, leave the parking lot today, praying in the spirit, fellowshipping at all times, all through the day with me and others, intermittently praying, and find yourself continually praying in the spirit, because in it my desire is to lift you up. I desire to take you past the burdens and the fight. I have asked you to continue in the fight. But get this, I've asked you to endure in the fight. I've asked you to endure sickness, depression, poverty, as I've not asked you, he says, well, let me get this straight. I have not asked you to endure the things that have come to bring, that bring the fight. I've not asked you to endure sickness, depression, poverty, as to let them rule over you or to lord over you. But I've asked you to endure a fight against them, a good fight. But let me take the weight of this fight, says the Spirit of grace. While you are worshiping me and giving yourselves over to tongues and to my word, know this, that I'm building you up on your most holy faith. I'm preparing inside of you a continual answer against those things that have come to lead you astray with such a force against your emotions that is hard to stand. Let me shore you up with such a force. He says, let me shore you up. Let me be a father to you. Let me once again get over to you how much I love you as my sons and as my daughters. In my strength and in my affirmation and my love to you, there is great strength, says the Spirit of grace. Give yourself over to this place. The more you do it, the more you will come up and the more you will stand. When you forget for a day or a season, he says, to go right back in, and I will continue to be there to remind you. You're not lost, and you are mine. I know where you're at. Harry, let's just worship just for a couple minutes. We'll get ready here to go home. I want to pray over everybody, not have you come up, but I just want to pray a corporate prayer over everybody. Hallelujah. Could you just all stand with me? Hallelujah. It's been a great start to a great week. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Would you agree with me in prayer? Just begin to love on Jesus. Just begin to praise Him. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We love 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 you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All the glory to God. Hallelujah.
Lord, I stand.
Sing it to Him.
I stand in awe of you,
Jesus.
Jesus, Lord, I stand. I stand in awe of you,
Jesus.
Jesus, there is none. There's none like you. There is none,
Jesus.
Jesus, there is none. There's none like you. There is none,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Let me pray over you in Jesus' name. I just bless them, Father. Surely as we've come here by the Holy Spirit and not of our own will, of ourself, but by the grace of God, raise up, I pray, a standard this week by your Holy Spirit. Grow us up. I thank you that these are prime choice. These are yours. These are those who are watching and those that are here. We thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God that is maturing and growing in them. We just pray that, Lord, the experience this week will be one that there will be infused in them, and that they'll go back into their families, and even while they're here, that their families at home, their businesses at home, their acquaintances at home, Lord, will be kept by Holy Spirit. Lord, we just release angelic host over this group this week. We thank you, Jesus, that great and notable things are in store for us as we continue on this path this week. We love you, we bless you, and we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody with me says amen. 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 God bless you. We will be here in the morning, and Pastor Jim? 9:15 pre-service worship, and the service at 10. God bless you. Those of you that can tomorrow, you know, I won't tell you to take off work, but boy, it's tempting, okay? But please, be here, as many of you that can. Amen. And I expect all of you to be here. All right, we'll see you. Amen.